Amen. And we're glad to see, good to see everybody here. I think it's a great crowd here tonight. Amen. Full house. Amen. Just wait till tomorrow night. Y'all will enjoy tonight. Amen. If everybody comes, it's supposed to come tomorrow night. It's going to be packed. It's just going to be elbow to elbow, and we're going to have a great time tomorrow night. It's going to be even better because I don't have to preach tomorrow night. Amen. I can just sit back and enjoy church. Enjoy. Can you believe it's been 1 year since we started down here? Amen. The first Sunday, and see what God's done. Amen. With this church, with this family. Amen. It's just been amazing in the building. I know there's a PowerPoint you'll probably see tomorrow night, but just the transition that's taken place in this building, amen, the transition that's happened in lives, amen, the transition that's happened in Christiana, Christian's life through this. Sis, you are doing absolutely awesome on everything you sat down on. I mean, awesome. This year, I mean, seeing a major change in her talent, her ability, and Christian's just doing awesome. I missed last week. I guess I didn't realize he was going to be speaking, and I probably would have been here, amen, to hear him speak a few words. Amen. I love it. I love seeing people get involved in the kingdom of God. You may be seated. He told me to be an evangelist. That's what I come here to do tonight, was be an evangelist. That's probably one of the things I enjoy doing more than absolutely anything. Amen. Is just evangelizing, preaching. I got a great family. And if I'm going to be an evangelist, I got to have somebody sing. What do y'all think? Isn't that part of being an evangelist? I can't play guitar. That's the way it used to be. You know, evangelists had to have a guitar. My wife played the accordion. I just can't play the guitar. So she's got to play. And God bless me with a beautiful daughter that likes to sing. And if I'm going to do this, if I'm going to be an evangelist, I might as well be an evangelist. This is what I'd do. If I was preaching somewhere, I'd have my boys stand and testify.
Thank you. my portion.
Feels happy and free tonight, thankful for what God's been in your life, in your world. Amen. How many wouldn't trade Jesus for absolutely anything in your life? Amen. The difference he's made, the change that he's made in your world and in your life. What a difference God, only God, can make in your life. Amen. Last few weeks ago, I preached down here from along those that lines that the gospel of Jesus Christ is what makes the difference in our lives. You can try a whole lot of things in this world. Amen. Many of you did that. Tried a whole lot of things to make a difference in your life. Amen. Until you walked into the presence of an awesome God. Amen. You didn't find that hope, that deliverance, but what a difference God made. Why don't we stand, amen, for the reading of the Word of God. We're going to go to Psalms chapter 103 tonight. Psalms chapter 103. Amen. Count it an honor to stand before you and bring the Word of God, bring this message. Amen. And I didn't come to impress nobody. I didn't come to be fancy. I just come to preach what the Word of God says. Amen. And I firmly believe that the Word of God is powerful. There's power in the message of Jesus Christ. Amen. It doesn't matter the, you know, what color you are preaching, or how big you are preaching, how little you are preaching, whether, like Brother Hainer said, you're in a big church or you're in a little church. The smallest crowd I ever preached to was three people. That was probably the smallest revival I ever had, was three people. And that building, I'm not exaggerating, was not much bigger than that front section of this building. You talk about tight. Every time I stepped back, I stepped right on his toes. I mean, it was that tight, that close. Amen. Out of the three, watch one of them get the Holy Ghost. It don't get any better than that. Amen. And then the next week, amen, there was one lady was so mad because her sister-in-law got the Holy Ghost that night and she didn't. And she almost left, I mean, really mad because her sister-in-law got the Holy Ghost first. And she just couldn't figure it out how she could get the Holy Ghost. And she couldn't. She was praying. She was doing everything the same way. And my cousin was preaching the next Sunday. Still only the three people that was there. Amen. Was preaching the next Sunday, talking about worship. And told them in the middle of his preaching, said, all you've got to do is just like you're at a football game. Y'all know, you know what that's like. You've been to football games. Praising God's no different than that. And he said, right in the middle of his preaching, that lady jumped up in the air and screamed, Jesus, you're number one. Jesus, you're, got about that far. Started speaking in a heavenly language as God filled her with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what it's all about, y'all. It's what it's all about. I might preach about it a little bit tonight. I already have, haven't I? Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Whew. That sounds like something I want. I said, that sounds like something I want. How many's glad that that's what y'all got one day? Nah, y'all get excited except for that last verse, huh? Y'all are going to look at it again. So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Whew. Woo, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? Amen. And I want to preach for just a few moments tonight on your greatest miracle. Your greatest miracle. Amen. I wonder if we could ask the anointing of the Holy Ghost to baptize this place. Father, what a privilege it is to be in your house tonight on this Friday night. And we ask the glory, the power of the Holy Ghost to baptize this place. Let us leave here stirred, changed, different than the way we walked in. In the precious holy name of Jesus Christ. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Can we do that together? Man, you may be seated. Wait. I messed something up. I won't even be able to preach if I don't have you turn around and tell somebody they look absolutely marvelous tonight. You may be seated. And I don't just do that. I still say I firmly believe that. I think God's people are the best looking people. Now y'all ain't going to preach with me. They're the best looking people. Really, we ought to be the healthiest people. We ought to be the feeling. When it comes to Monday morning, we're walking into the house of the Lord. I still believe that God's people ought to be the happiest people at work. Ought to be the most smiling people in the neighborhood. If everybody's afraid to come to your house, you better check your Holy Ghost. If the kids don't like coming over, you might want to check something out. Amen. Because even the Lord had the kids that wanted to be around his feet, and the disciples had to push them off a little bit. Amen. Because God makes that kind of change, that kind of difference in our life and in our world. God takes us from despair and puts us in hope. God puts us from depression and puts us in joy. God takes us from a world of turmoil and puts us in a world of peace. How many would testify tonight that that happened in your life? Hallelujah. You're just going to sit real quiet on me. But some of y'all know what I'm talking about. The change, the difference that God made in your life and in your world. And you know, this thing about religion, about church, about Jesus is quickly coming to the forefront of everybody's life and mind. I don't know that we have ever lived in a season or a time where there are so many people that are constantly being introduced or somehow bringing religion is being brought to the forefront of everything that they look at on the news. Every place they look, they're being forced into what are they going to do about this Jesus that this world's talking about. Where, how do I stand? How do I feel about God and religion? And it's quickly, everybody's going to be making some choices and some decisions of where do you fall in this process? Where do you stand about this Jesus, this religion? How do you feel about it? Almost everybody's going to be proposed with this question. Well, what do you think about Christianity? What do you think about Jesus? How does he compare to Muhammad? And how does he compare to Buddha? And how does he compare to these other gods? And you're going to be forced with that question of are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Are you really one of those Christians? Are you really one of those that know who Jesus is? And can I tell somebody tonight, there better be something way down deep in our heart and our spirit when the question is proposed to us, where do we stand, that we can stand firmly and say, I will testify with everything that's within me. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like my God. My God made the difference. There's nothing that can take the place of your personal testimony of what God did in your life and in your world. You can't give somebody else's testimony and be as effective as you can with your own testimony of what a change, what a difference God made in my life and in my world. It's fun to give somebody else's testimony sometimes. Dad started talking a little bit about watching Sister Vanessa come in with all of those students and filling that whole row up. I preached about it a lot of places. Amen. Talked about it a lot, and it's awesome. You want to talk about something awesome? You watch that whole row of young people with white mascara on, their hair dyed black, black fingernails, that walked into church to disrupt a service. And it wasn't no revival, big, powerful evangelist there, but the anointing, the power, the God that we were reading about, that David in the Old Testament said, that's what I want to do in your life. That's what I want to do in your world. As mascara began to run, amen, and that altar began to fill up with young people that had worshiped Satan and all of a sudden figured out there's something that's real in this house tonight. There's something real in this sanctuary. Amen. They came into contact with Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's powerful. Amen. That's anointing. And I can preach about it, and I will preach about it. Amen. But can I tell somebody, nobody can tell me that God, when I was 8 years old at an Indiana district campground, amen, an 8 year old that wanted God, wanted to experience what grandma and grandpa and mom and dad and everybody else had experienced when I was in that chapel, whenever the other kid had walked out of there, amen, and I said, I'm not leaving here on a Thursday morning till I'm filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I remember going to God in prayer, God taking me into the rivers of the Holy Ghost. And I remember stumbling out of that little sanctuary, still under the influence of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Telling kids, God, just fill me with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the devil can't convince me no different. The greatest miracle you'll ever experience in your life is allowing God to become personal to you in your life. Amen. That is the greatest miracle that you'll ever have. Amen. David told us in Psalms exactly what God wanted to be in our life. He said he wanted to forgive all our iniquities. Y'all, you got to think about this. There is nothing in this world, nothing that it can give you, nothing it can offer you that can cleanse your spirit, that can take the heaviness out of our soul, that can take the burden of sin out of our life. They may give you a little bottle of pills or a little bottle of alcohol or a little bit of this or a little bit of that that might change your emotions for a few moments. But can I preach to somebody that there's absolutely nothing in this world that can take the heaviness of the burden of sin in our life and lift it up off of our shoulders and allow the freedom and the liberty to lift your hands before God with a clean heart and a clean spirit? Yes. Nothing in this world will replace that. David said, that's the God that I'm talking about. Yes. And that's the God that I'm preaching about tonight. It's the same God. The same God my grandpa, my great-grandpa preached about. He said, who healeth all thy diseases. Y'all, this healing thing has got to become more and more prevalent in our midst in this last hour. I'm going to preach that with everything that's within me. If there's ever been a day and an hour that people need to walk into the presence of God sick and leave healed, it's in this generation. If there's ever been a time that we need to see a demonstration of the supernatural power of God, it's right now. How many believes that? Come on, how many believes that? And it's only going to happen when we expect it, when our faith is there. I'm preaching to us right now. If you want to see miracles, you create an atmosphere of miracles in the house, and you will see miracles. You create an atmosphere of building somebody's faith, and you're going to see the supernatural happen. Amen. If you don't believe, they're not going to believe. You don't think God's going to do it. How in the world do you expect somebody that's never come into contact with God to have confidence in your God if you don't have confidence in your God? Can I move on? Who redeemeth my life from destruction? Y'all, there is nothing more destructive in a life than sin. There's nothing that will destroy somebody's world like sin destroys a life in somebody's world. It destroys marriages. It destroys health. It destroys emotions. Sin is a heavy burden in lives that causes, amen. Some people will say it's just life issues. I'm going to tell somebody that most issues are sin issues that causes things in our life and in our world. Amen. And the Bible says that God wants to destroy us from that destructiveness in our life. God wants to set you free from habits that destroy lives. God wants to set you free from the spirits of this world that want to destroy young people, that want to destroy young girls, that want to destroy young guys. That God said, I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And he said he came. He said, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Now there's something about an atmosphere of walking in to mama's house or grandma's house where you know you've done wrong. You know you hadn't done right. But you know you're welcome to walk into that home and sit down and you're accepted. Can I just tell somebody in this house tonight that there's nothing in this world, there's no atmosphere in this world that is as peaceful as walking into the loving kindness of the Lord God Almighty. Amen. I'm talking about walking into a place where you know your life is a mess. You know your life has been places that it shouldn't have gone, that your mind has thought about things that it shouldn't have thought about. You may have done things that you know you shouldn't have done. But when you walk into the presence of the Almighty God, and you know without a shadow of a doubt, as the church begins to sing, as people begin to lift their voices, that an atmosphere fills the house, that you know I'm in the presence of a God that loves me in spite of my past, that loves me in spite of my failures, that God is a God of love. A God of tender mercies. I preached in places, I've been in services, seen so many times where people have experienced the mercy of God. And I'm telling you, there's nothing that will flood your heart and your spirit like the mercy of God. There's nothing that just rushes into your heart and your whole being like the mercies of God. When somebody knows that I'm in the presence of the Lord, and I know that His mercy has reached down toward me, and to experience that, and I watch grown men that couldn't help it, as tears, I mean big beards and all the big burly guys, and as tears begin to float down their cheeks. Why? Amen. It wasn't because of our fancy preaching or our fancy singing. It's because of the same God that David penned the words in Psalms 103, that the mercies of God begin to flow into their heart and their spirit. The greatest miracle that will ever happen in your life is the mercy and the power of God. I've said this before. I wasn't intending on saying this tonight, but let me say this. I still believe with all everything that's in me that one of the greatest gifts God gives us is the gift of conviction. It's the gift of conviction. Because He doesn't owe that to us. Our lives are wrong. If we never felt the conviction of God again, we're still just as wrong as we were. But aren't you thankful that the mercy of God is so powerful that it begins to convict our hearts? It begins to open up our eyes to who we really are. It begins to turn the light on really what is in our heart and our spirit. If you're still feeling the conviction of God every now and then, you ought to say, thank you, Lord, that you're not letting me walk down a destructive path. Thank you, Lord, that you're not letting me just go the way I want to go. One of the greatest end times I ever had feeling the conviction of God is when I heard an old time preacher man. He was there. Didn't have the Holy Ghost, don't think. Woo! I wouldn't have wanted to not have the Holy Ghost. That old preacher. He was bigger than I am a little bit. Couldn't see real good, and he had that old cane. And he preached about the tattletales in your eyes. Y'all, I'm telling you, when that old preacher come down off of that platform and never said a word, he just started walking around, looking in your eyes. Everybody was real quiet. He said, just looking for tattletales. I'm just looking for tattletales. He'd look at my eyes. He said, is your heart right? You talk about goosebumps going from, you probably just had that same thing, did goosebumps from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Can I tell somebody that there's something awesome about the power of the conviction of God that leads us into His mercy, that leads us into His grace, that gives us the door, the opportunity to experience the power of God, who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. What you talking about, preacher? I do believe that the power of God changes who we are and what we are inside. and that the power of God does give us the opportunity to live life experiences better than we've ever lived life's experiences. I do believe that the power of God has the ability to take stress and take things out of our life and our world that causes us to live a life as a young person when we really ought not be able to do that. And I really believe that you take some of these young people like me. I've been raised in the house of the Lord. We look younger. There's no better life. There's no better way to live life than living in the presence of the Lord. And the greatest miracle you will ever experience, let me preach to you, it's greater than receiving healing in your back, than receiving healing in your knees, than receiving healings of any kind in our body, is the healing of our soul, the changing of who we are, the pulling and the drawing of us into the presence of the Lord. And if I could just preach just a few more minutes, I can't think of any more powerful, better demonstration of really what God wanted to do, and God, his whole really focus of what coming to him can really be like for lives, than what we find in Mark, the second chapter. In Mark, the second chapter, we find one of my favorite stories to preach from, and I think a powerful illustration of the mercies of God. There's a young man that in Mark chapter 2 that cannot walk. He's paralyzed. He can't do it on his own. He can't change the situation for himself. He's really in a hopeless position. He's really in a position that nobody else can help him. He's just there. He's stuck. And anytime that he has anything that comes into his life, it's because somebody else brings it to him or somebody else helps him get there. Just he's in a desperate position in his life. And there's four guys that make up their mind that, did you hear what I heard? That there is a man in Capernaum today by the name of Jesus. Yeah, I've heard about Jesus. But have you heard of his power? Have you heard of his anointing? Have you heard that he's not like any other man? That he's different than any other prophet that's ever come to Capernaum? Have you heard of the excitement that is there? That they're saying there's something real about this Jesus. And they say, yeah. They said, well, why don't we go see him? And I just imagine this lame man that's laying there, probably his buddies gathered around him as they started to go, said, hey, you ain't leaving here without me. Don't go without me. The Bible tells us that those four young men picked up that young man that was lame and gathered him up in their shoulders, and the four of them begin to carry his little bed. And they got to that house in Capernaum where Jesus was at. Looked around. There was not one parking spot out there. There was not one seat in the house. There was people gathered. It was like the restaurant on a Sunday afternoon after Sunday school. They were standing in a line outside. There were so many people pressed around that building. What are we going to do? How in the world are we going to be able to get in there and see Jesus? How can we even get close to this one called Jesus? You know, sometimes when we're coming to God, it's not the easiest process in our life. Sometimes coming to God takes a little bit of help in our lives and in our world. I preached a while back. It don't matter how you get to Jesus. Just so you get there. I'll just give you a little detour on that message. woman with the issue of blood, she just snuck in. Nobody knew she was there and touched his garment. She got her miracle. Bartimaeus screamed with everything that was within him, jumped up and down and screamed every breath that was in him and said, Jesus, you're not getting past me. I'm going to scream until I stop you. He got his miracle. There was a woman that was caught in the act of adultery that didn't want to go, had no intentions of going, but her sin forced her to the feet of the Master, and she got her miracle. It don't matter how you get to Jesus. What matters is that you get to Jesus. This lame man, this young guy couldn't do anything. He was totally dependent upon the church. He was totally dependent upon somebody else to get him to the Master. Amen. There's sometimes that you can't let the crowd, you can't let the misunderstanding. I'm preaching to somebody. You may not understand everything about this church. You may not understand everything about religion, and it feels like you're wading through things. That's all right. Let somebody get you by the head and start lifting you up a little bit and getting you into the presence of the Almighty God. The Bible tells us that those four young men got that young man and they took him up on the roof. Y'all get this in your mind. Took him up on the roof and started peeling off the pieces of the roof until they got a hole big enough. And they took that young man and they started lowering him down right into the presence of the Lord God Almighty. Can you imagine the crowd as they started looking as this young man starts floating down into the presence of the Lord Himself? You know, church, that's what we're doing with our worship. That's what we're doing with our praise. That's what we're doing by starting churches in Winnemac. That's what we're doing by starting things like this. We're going right into the middle of the world's chaos. And we're creating a window that somebody can be brought into this place. And you may be in this place tonight for the very reason, amen, that God just wants you to be lowered down to the middle of His presence. Jesus did something very interesting. Verse number 4 of Mark chapter 2 says, and when they could not come nigh unto Him for the press, they uncovered the roof where He was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick and the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, He said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Greater than fixing your life situations, some of us come from some messed up situations. Some of us come from some messed up worlds. Undoubtedly, this young man that was paralyzed and couldn't move, his world was a mess. But yet Jesus didn't say first to take up your bed and walk. The first thing He said was, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Everybody didn't like that was in the atmosphere. They didn't think that was quite right to do. And because He was so much God, He knew what they were thinking. He looked at that young man and He said, son, take up thy bed and walk. God has the ability to change our situation, change our environment, change our bodies, change everything about our life and our world. But if he doesn't get into your heart first, that young man would have been just as hopeless when he left this place, that place, walking with his own 2 feet as he was when he come in there paralyzed, if his heart hadn't been fixed. Jesus began to tell everybody in the atmosphere, which is easier. They said, well, it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, than it is for to take up thy bed and walk. And he said, yeah, it's easier for you to believe. It's easier for you to believe that what you've seen with your own 2 eyes, that he got up and walked, because that, you know, that's pretty powerful there. But you couldn't see anything that took place when I said, thy sins be forgiven thee. One of the biggest problems and struggles that people have with the mercies of God is it is easier for them to believe for a miracle of healing, a miracle of provision, a miracle of money, than it is for them to trust the mercy of God in their own life. But the greatest miracle in your life is when the mercy of God is released into your life and in your world. Romans chapter 14 verse 11 says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. As we stand across this sanctuary, I'm going to read that scripture again. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed in this sanctuary, can we do that together right now? It says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Can I tell somebody today that when that moment, that time comes in your life, that you give an account for your life, that the greatest miracle you'll ever be able to experience at that point in time is when you stand to give your account. And the blood of Jesus says, hang on. Hang on. The blood has been applied to this life. What sin? I don't remember any sin. What transgression? I don't see any transgression. What iniquity? There is no iniquity. That life is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's more than a cross hanging on a wall for our eyes to see, to remind us. I'm preaching to you tonight that the blood of Jesus was spilled for your life to be changed, to be transformed. The greatest miracle you can ever experience is bowing your knee at an altar and asking God to change who you are, to change what you are. That young man that was lowered down to the feet of Jesus, had Jesus look at him and say, son, thy sins be forgiven thee, But let me tell somebody tonight, he didn't even experience what's available to you and to I tonight. His sins was forgiven him. But the blood at that point had not been spilled. The blood had not been spilled. His sins could be forgiven him. But I'm preaching to us tonight that has the opportunity to not just only have our sins forgiven us, but there is a water that Peter said is for the remission. It's for the remission of my sins. That they're gone forever. Why don't we lift our hands all over this sanctuary right now? The presence of the Holy Ghost is in this house.